1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
We have with us on the line Dr. Jim Sadler, a psychotherapist from Encino, California, who is filing a lawsuit against a patient of his. And I have never heard of that being done in the context of what you were about to explain to us. But we thank you, Dr. Sadler, for taking a moment out of your busy schedule. I know you've been talking to a lot of the media to speak with us this evening. Thank you, sir.
I'm very happy to get it on the record, Phil. Thank you.
Tell me what your lawsuit. What are you suing this man for?
I'm suing him for slander. I was slandered by him. And when you say you were slandered, what that means is someone spoke an untruth about you. And this was in the middle of a session, a counseling session, if you will, Phil, a psychotherapeutic session, where I was trying to get him to have a breakthrough on some anger issues that he had.
All right, tell me, and this gentleman we're going to be talking to in a few moments, and I understand that he should remain anonymous due to the patient-doctor privilege, but tell me what was said and what the genesis of your lawsuit is about.
I was using, Phil, something that we use in the therapeutic field called a placebo. If you're a medical doctor, even if you're a person who is involved in psychology, psychiatry, placebos are very well known and sometimes effective. And a placebo, as many people in your audience know, is a non-active agent that is used to activate something within the patient. We use it in medicine to say, well, these pills will help you, but in point of fact, as a placebo, they do nothing more than break a sort of psychosomatic cycle that the patient may be under. And so we do the same thing in psychology. And I was using a crystal. The crystal is a mandala. A mandala, a symbol of power. And this man was having anger issues at work, and I wanted him to use the crystal as a sort of placebo symbol of breaking or demolishing this anger block that he had. We had been on our fourth session, and I looked at him, and he looked agitated, and I said, what is the problem? And he said, there you go again with the crystal, at which point he then made the statement, and this was what I felt was actionable, and my attorney agrees, man, you really need to get laid.
And he said that to you?
He said that to me, yes. And I said, I was taken aback, I was angered. And I said, would you please repeat that? And he said, I'd be happy to. You really need to get laid if you think a crystal is going to help me. And I said, I need to get laid. You're the one with the anger issue.
All right, now we're going to bring the gentleman on. And again, he is anonymous. We'll call him Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith?
Yes.
All right, sir, now you, do you recall saying this?
I do indeed recall saying it, yes.
Then you do admit it.
I'd like to say one thing, Mr. Henry, if I could say what I want to say without being interrupted.
Well, we'll try and keep this as
But he does admit it.
I admit saying it. And the reason why I said it is I had first started seeing Dr. Sadler at the recommendation of a friend of mine who knew of Dr. Sadler's work in the area of anger management. $250 an hour, I might like to add.
Well, see, that doesn't...
All right, hold on, doctor.
Doesn't matter.
If I could go on.
Go ahead.
The first thing I see when I sit down in his office is he's playing with... looks like he's playing with marbles or something.
All right. See.
All right, hold on.
Can I go on?
Go ahead.
It looks like he's playing with marbles like he ought to have a beanie on. I don't know.
Can I say something, Mr. Henry?
I want to get his side, and then you can respond.
So he's fooling around with this, and this went on for 3 weeks. And I didn't say, man, you really need to get laid. I said to him, would it help if you got some? Would it help you if you got your ashes hauled? I said something like that.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
No, you didn't. You said, man, you really need to get laid. When I brought out the Emperor Mandela Crystal.
That's what I mean. I don't know what he's talking about, the Emperor Mandela Crystal. All I know is I went in there, I had anger issues.
Well, to be fair, sir, Mr. Smith, your anger issues seem to be evident right here in our program.
Wouldn't you get angry at $250 an hour if you got some guy sitting in front of you who is built like Jack LaLanne, talks as if he had his tongue ripped from his face?
You see how he makes... this is so juvenile, Mr. Smith.
You know what my name is.
I know, but I'm going to protect you.
Gee, thanks.
Well, Mr. Henry...
Go on.
This is the juvenile attitude that he takes. I was not playing with marbles. These were various crystal mandalas that I had laid out on the table to show him their effect, the power effect they might have at diffusing the anger issues.
You see what I mean? All I wanted was a man that spoke the English language, and he is playing with these rocks and things. Now, I know he explained it as some kind of a crystal, and I appreciate that, and he can have any religion he wants. He can bark at the moon for all I care, but for $2.50 an hour, I look at a guy sitting there fumbling with... can I be honest with you, Mr. Henry, as to why this comment was made? And I think Dr. Sadler will concur with this.
Go ahead.
Watch it.
Wait a minute. Now, you know, Dr. Sadler put these crystals in his pockets. And as he was leading me to the door, he was fumbling with them. So he had both hands in his pockets. You understand?
Yes.
And I see his hands moving around in his pockets. And... I mean, come on.
Well, okay, go ahead. What are you saying?
Well, it looked like you were playing with yourself or something. Your hands are moving around. I said, man, you really ought to get your ashes hauled if that's what you're doing. And he's doing this in front of me.
All right, Mr. Henry.
Go on, Dr. Sadler.
I wasn't playing, he said, in the comment you made, and I noted it from my attorney, pulling my worm, was that... What seems to be so funny?
Well,
I mean, that's...
Okay, you know...
Hold on now.
I admit saying that, but that's what it looked like he was doing. It looked like he was playing with himself as he was fumbling around.
I had the crystals in my pocket. I was nervously fidgeting with them as I told him about...
Yeah, but if you have your hands in your pockets, Mr. Henry, don't they point straight down? Why did both hands point in toward the crotch?
Okay, your point is?
My point? That's when I said, you really need to get it, you need to get it hauled. And that's when he ordered me out of his office. Next thing I know, I've got a lawsuit.
All right. Can I ask you something, sir? Why would you go to this doctor if you knew him by reputation, you knew him to be an effective doctor, and yet his methods may have seemed unorthodox to you? Why not just see the whole thing through?
Because I am very direct, and at $250 an hour, I think I'm allowed to question the kind of therapy I get.
You can question it, but you say I'm pulling my worm in front of my nurse and everybody.
I didn't say it in front of your nurse.
Yes, you did. Mr. Henry.
Yep.
This is the genesis of the lawsuit. He said, man, you really need to get laid, pulling on your worm like that. All right, I'm hearing laughter.
Why wouldn't people laugh?
All right, go ahead.
He said, you need to get laid, pull on your worm. And then I said, okay, that's slander.
And I made fun of the way he said slander.
Yes, he said, what did you just say? And then, you know.
I said, what did you call that? Slander? And that's when he eventually had me, you know, remove building security.
So security had to remove you?
Well, no, they didn't, but they came up, and suddenly I see some big guy with one, you know, one of those blue jackets with a patch that, you know, Valley Security doesn't mean anything to me, and he says, you better go on down, you know, whatever the guy said. So I did, and I got a lawsuit.
You have to understand that.
All right, look it. Is this not something that can be settled, gentlemen, out of court? Is this not?
No, I don't think so, Mr. Henry. I'm here to protect the millions and millions of psychotherapists, psychologists, and marriage, family, and child counselors in America who go out of their way to help people in trauma, only to be mocked for, you know, pulling it, or, you know, man, you got to get laid or something like that.
Well, listen to the way the guy talks. See, that's the other thing.
Well, look at it. I mean, so what about it?
I'm married to a woman, and I enjoy her sexually. If the inference is homosexuality...
Are you kidding? Then the thing that kills me is I met this guy. He's built like a brick crap house. I mean, the guy's got guns on him, and then you look at his face, he's got the kisser of Wally Cox. I mean, the whole thing...
All right, but am I going to start knocking the guy for the way he looks?
That's my point exactly.
It isn't just the way he looks. Listen to that. And then I come to my office and I listen to a message. Sir, Mr. Smith, you have to come to my office. Why? So I can go there and watch you yanking it? With both of your hands shoved in your pockets, looking all nervous and fidgety while you're eyeballing me up and down?
Oh, man. So now you think I'm queer for you.
Well, the shoe fits, friend.
All right, gentlemen, this obviously isn't going to get solved in one afternoon or one evening. It seems like a silly lawsuit, Dr. Sadler.
Not when the reputation of so many psychotherapists is on the line.
See, what did you say? See, I didn't even understand that.
But in any event, would an apology do?
An apology about what?
If he said, I'm sorry for saying what I said. Would you be willing to do that, sir?
You looked like you were pulling your worm.
Okay, but see, that's not, you know, worm. What's that about?
Okay, all right. Your baseball bat. You feel better?
Jesus. I think a hug.
Oh, man.
Oh, now what do you mean by that?
I don't mean it in a gay way. I mean a hug and a shake of the hand.
All right, and what about the whole thing about, man, you really got to get laid?
All right, I guess you don't need to get laid. I guess as long as you've got your little friends, your crystal rocks, you're just all happy.
No, that's not going to do.
See, that's sarcastic.
Jesus. Okay, I'm sorry.
And a hug.
What is that about, a hug? Tell you what, how about a shake of the snake?
You're a...
All right, see what you did?
The hell with you!
All right, he hung up.
Well... I tell you, I offered. He could come down and watch me and my wife do it.
The guy's going to sue you. Just hung up, man. Because of that shake of the snake.
I mean, are you kidding with this guy or what? $250 an hour and I got to watch him pulling it? That's what it's costing me? $250 an hour to watch him fidgeting with both hands shoved so deep in his pockets. You know there are two joy holes the size of the freaking wind tunnels in there.
All right, well, Mr. Smith, good luck with this lawsuit.
Don't worry about it. My attorney's all over it.
All right, thank you, sir.
Uh-huh.
Weird, huh? $250 an hour, that's a lot of bread to watch some guy playing with his marbles. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You know what? You're adopted. Suck on that.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Barry Bonds hit number 713 in his career, the 713th home run of his career last night, Sunday night, moving within one of tying Babe Ruth for second place on baseball's career list. This was his fifth homer of the season. It was a 450-foot shot, one of the longest ever at Philadelphia's hitter-friendly park, which where do they play now, man? Have they built a brand new stadium for the Phillies? And he needs 42 to tie Hank Aaron. Now, 714, Ruth hit 714 home runs when his career ended was 1935 when he hit 714. And then it was like 39 years before Hank Aaron broke that record. So am I doing this right when I say that it's been 32? Hank Aaron did it in 74, and so that's 32 years for Bonds. But I don't even know if I'm making the right comparison there. But I think it's 32 years, and 714 has been is being approached by Barry Bonds. And he's only, as I mentioned, one shy of Ruth's 714, one of the most hallowed numbers in a sport ruled by home run hitters. Ruth hit his 714th in 35, and then Aaron broke that record on April 8th, 1974. I remember where I was. People remember where they were when Kennedy was shot? I remember where I was when Aaron broke that record. I was on my way to my radio gig in Orlando, Florida. And I stopped in to get a pack of smokes, and I looked up at the TV set, and I'll never forget Al Downing feeding him that gopher ball. Downing was on the mound, and Kurt Gowdy was calling the ball game. I think it was a Monday night game, if I'm not mistaken. Downing fed that baby up. Aaron cracks that thing, and then those white boys came running out of the stands, right, and started running on the bags. And these people, it never dawned on me for a second that those kids meant that man any harm at all. It looked to me like they were genuinely enthused and happy to see Aaron hit it. But there were a few people that, oh my God, he's going to be killed! And even Aaron was freaking out when he saw those kids running after him. Bud Selig has said baseball won't do anything special to celebrate Bonds passing Ruth because it would only put the Giant star in second place. Maybe it also has something to do with allegations of steroid use by Bonds and baseball's probe into whether he took performance-enhancing drugs. Every time one of these guys busts these records, the old-timers are the guys. They're the ones. They get all bugged about it. Maris wasn't able to do it without everybody hounding him half to freaking death. Now these guys did, and they're a bunch of drug users and steroid users and everything else. You want to know something? I think Aaron and Ruth both were on illicit use of hot dogs when they hit their freaking home runs. What do you think of that? I think that Ruth had far, far too many carbohydrates in his butt when he knocked that baby out of the, when he put that apple out of the park at 35. What are you going to do? I mean, performance-enhancing drugs. One of these days, they're going to finally figure it out, man, that just about everything is a performance-enhancing drug, including coffee, you name it. And pretty soon you won't know the difference between what's a drug and what isn't. Pretty soon you won't know the difference between what is performance-enhancing and illegal and what isn't. Are you trying to tell me, in other words, if it grows in the ground, it's a carrot or a piece of celery or it's some lettuce or something, now that's cool because it comes out of the ground. But because I happen to synthesize it, I give it to the guy to enhance his, what about cigarettes? What about booze? You know, we're fast approaching a day, ladies and gentlemen, when drugs are going to be preferred. In other words, do you know what drugs are doing for us? Drugs are good. Drugs are not bad. They're good. I'm not talking about recreational use of acid, although that's fun sometimes. I'm kidding, young people of America. I'm not talking about illegal recreational drugs. But the fact is that drugs are revolutionizing the way we live. They are revolutionizing the fields of mental health. Yeah, that's right. Physical performance. All kinds of stuff. Drugs are a good thing. We found these things, and they help us. But because they're not, quote, natural? You know what's funny, man? The other day, we took our dog to the dog rescue, pet emergency place. We got a little dog named Casey. He's a little freaking mutt. I say he, but it's a she, but I call him a he. Because she ate snail off or some crap. So we went and we took this dumb dog over there to have her stomach pumped. And I told the doctor, kick her around the room for good measure. He said, okay. Anyway, all these people in there with their be kind to animals bullcrap, right? Yeah? The drugs that they use on those dogs, well, guess how they tested them? On rats. The dog drugs. Now, all of these people with their animal shelter this and their be kind to animals that and their PETA me and PETA you and PETA all the live long day, they don't think about that, man, that half of the stuff that's used to counteract some of the problems that your little doggy or your cat have, I mean, they had a rat going half out of his head. They drove a rat half mad so your poodle could live. We'll be right back with more.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, like in Canada, they got the worst health insurance in the history of the human race. I mean, ask them, man. You don't have to ask me. Ask Canadians. They come down here to get health care because their health care up there is a disaster. And yet they've got dog and cat insurance. Swear to God. Swear to God. You can't get health insurance in Canada, but your cat can. And you can go to any number of veterinarians. A friend of mine was telling me today, go through the Yellow Pages in Canada. There are more freaking veterinarians than there are lawyers. And that's got to be a record. What is that about? Don't start. People who own pets shouldn't be allowed to weigh in on any issue whatsoever. We'll decide what happens to the dogs and cats. All people who decide on what happens to animals should not be pet owners. Because you know how they say, you got to have a clear eye and you got to have an objective and dry-eyed view of things? Like, for instance, that's why we don't give families the right to, you know, pass the sentence on the guy that murdered their kid or something, because they're emotionally distraught. You have to give it over to an objective jury to view the evidence objectively and then allow society to, you know, make the judgment call. Well, the same thing with dogs and cats and all of that stuff. You can't have a cat owner deciding stuff. That nut would vote a cat president. You can't have any of those people deciding. It's got to be people that don't own pets. What should we would do with dogs? Every fifth one should be shot. All right, thank you. Thank you very much. And there you go. Do you own a dog? No, I do not. I'm just being very objective about the overpopulation of dogs. Well, you're going to get a whole bunch of dog owners going ape on the thing, right? Or you could get a whole bunch of ape owners going dog on you. He went hound on me. He ran. But dog and cat insurance, when I saw that, and when we took the dog over, This Casey, this little dog of ours, we took him over to get his stomach pumped because the nut was eating that snail off. I saw the guy had the thing right there. Get cat insurance today. Call this number. Health insurance for your pet. Yeah, we're really a country that's doing badly. The economy's really bad. Yeah, we're suffering all right. Yeah, we are really suffering in this country, man. I'm buying insurance, health insurance for my freaking Maine minx, or whatever the hell the thing is. We're doing so bad in this country. We got Botox, we got collagen shots, cat insurance. We got more frivolous, dopey. I mean, I'm totally in favor of it. I love it all. Just don't tell me the country's like, oh, yeah, the economy really blows. If you see, the stock market just went through the roof the other day. Things are popping along, man. If Bush hadn't gotten involved in that Iraq thing, I told him. Hey, man, I don't care. If the people, American people, think we ought to pull out of Iraq, fine. We'll pull out of Iraq. Don't think that ends it, though. If you think that makes us safe from something, forget it. Oh, yeah, I forgot. You're right. There was no terrorism until we went to Iraq. Yeah, I forgot all about that. Jesus. Why don't I just 9/11's a figment of my freaking imagination. And anyway, Bush caused that. Yeah, that's right. If I could just see the world the way some of these people see it, man, I would be, well, I'd be buying insurance for my cat. God, oh my, you should have seen that. That United 93, you got to see it. You've got to see it. If you got any balls at all, you got to see it. And let me tell you something else. Everybody was talking to me about, the war in Iraq, right? That's a bad move, man. Now, the move into Afghanistan, I agreed with that. Okay. You did. Yes. That was good, man. That was good. We were going after Osama. But this Iraq thing sucks. Okay, so how come you don't want to see United 93? It's that whole Afghanistan thing. Oh, okay. All right, now look, there's a couple of things. Speaking of the Middle East, I want to get out of the way. Number one, they do some things right in the Middle East. In Iran, they have forbid their soccer players to have long hair or plucked eyebrows. All right. The Iranian hardline head of the whole thing, the top rag wearer over there, a guy by the name of Mohammed Al-Abadi Yomamatu, said, I will ban athletes with an effeminate look. And he says it's disgraceful for Iran that young people step onto the fields wearing makeup. When a man enters the field with dyed hair and groomed eyebrows, he's disrespecting society. I totally agree. He went on to say, we don't want our football players looking like Kansas City queers. Thank you and good night. Mohammed, shake your booty. The Iran sports fang. I swear to God, Iran's hardline Islamic regime that can't put enough of a bummer into the day of their people. Now they don't want these cats with the long hair and the plucked eyebrows. Do these people laugh at anything? Do they get joy out of anything? Is there anything they really get? They get a thrill out of? Everything over there is just one big fat freaking bummer from sun up to sundown. You're getting your hands cut off for this, your ass kicked for that. You can't be gay. You can't be this. You can't be that. Just when I thought it was a place where a man could be free. Just when I was in line with the whole Iran thing, I think they ought to be able to make a nuclear bomb. I just want it to go off in their country. What's wrong with that? Just when I was beginning to think that they were kind of, you know, representative of a country that's, you know, they're kind of standing up to the West, standing up to all of these industrialized first world countries. They have a right to their Islamic regime. I think it's a country that is, I think they're going in the right direction, especially when they say they don't want any queers on their soccer team. But now, I mean, everything with those guys over there is just, let's just lay a massive bum trip on everybody. They got a president that wants to wipe everybody off the face of the earth, and he hadn't even learned how to wipe himself. The whole thing is just, and a friend of mine just got back from over there. This candidate is a restaurant owner out in my neck of the woods. The guy's an Iranian. He's a Persian. That's what Iranians over here call themselves, Persians. They don't call themselves Iranians. They would rather name themselves after a cat than call themselves Iranians. So they're over here, and he went over to visit his family. I said, really? You can just go over there? He goes, yeah. I said, they got those guys walking around with the rags in their head, making sure that you don't, like, pick your rear end at the wrong time of day? He goes, oh, yeah, you got all those guys. You know, they're called the Islamic morality cops or something. He says, so what I do is I just kind of, you know, shove my hands in my pockets, walk around like I'm playing pocket pool. That keeps them busy. Hey, hold on. What? What are you doing? Pocket pool, huh? You're under arrest. And they just passed a law in Iran, pocket pool, death by hanging. You know. So that's some good news out of that part of the world. And what else? Oh, yeah, Israel should be wiped from the map. All right. We are having some good times, aren't we? Woo! All right, I'll be back with the latest update on teachers. And what is it? I don't know. Nobody knows. Not even NBC knows. This is the most mysterious thing that the world has ever seen. So I'll be back to tell you a little bit more about it. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Here's the thing on Scientology. What? Yeah.
Phil, I didn't mean to interrupt the program, but I have something to tell you. And I think it's important given the fact that you're going to be broadcasting your final show on the 23rd. Bud, go ahead.
I wanted to tell you earlier, but I'm leaving a show earlier than you are. I got to.
Why?
I have.
You can tell him, but it's all right.
I've come down with AIDS.
Oh my God, Bud! You're serious, really?
Yeah, I am.
Are you now? It's okay with me, pal. Whatever. Are you? Were you involved with another man?
No. Well, not really.
But it's treatable. You're HIV positive, right?
Well, yeah, I have AIDS.
That's different. HIV positive is different. AIDS is full-blown symptomatic. HIV positive just means you have the...
Well, I got AIDS. I mean...
All right, so what happened? I mean, are you okay? Are you going to a doctor?
Yeah, but...
It's all right, man. I don't care if you've had a relationship. Or was it with a girl, or...
Well, no, it was with a guy.
You can tell him, bud.
It was with a guy?
Well, kind of. I was at a Laker game, and I was sitting next to Magic Johnson, and I sometimes don't like black people, and so I mumbled something, and he bent me over a chair and started putting it to me right there.
Are you listening to this?
Yeah, what?
What do you mean, what? I mumbled something, and Magic Johnson bent me over a chair.
That's what he says!
So, I've got AIDS.
Well, how do you know you got AIDS?
Because he put it to me. I must.
No, you must not. What do you mean you don't like black folks and you mumbled something?
I just said, you know, I said to the usher, can you sit me with white people, please?
So Magic Johnson bent you over a chair, huh?
Yeah, just started right there between the first and second quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson seen it at everything, if you don't believe me.
Yeah, that's right, man. I'll give him a call.
You know, I think it's pretty disgraceful. You won't believe...
Get out of here, both of you freaks. Hey, Phil, yeah, I gotta leave the show. I got AIDS. Oh, really? Why? Yeah, Magic Johnson bent me over a chair at a Laker game because I said something about black people. What a racist, bud.
You'll see.
Yeah, I'll see. You know, by the time I do see, I won't care. All right, a reminder for you guys, the Phil Henry Show website remains alive and well, baby, well beyond our final broadcast. The Phil Henry Show website will become our, well, it'll become our main resource point for all of us to get together and find out about different things that we're involved in, different projects. And believe me, there will be a great many,
just as soon as somebody hires you.
Right. And so, with that in mind... the website, though, seriously, is up and running, and we are going to be adding new content, and this is going to be content that you haven't heard for a long time. A lot of this stuff was not available to us because of broadcast considerations due to the FCC, but once we are no longer broadcasting our show, we'll be able to make available to you a lot of material that you haven't heard for a while, so that means full shows, full hours, including lots of different bits. As well, we're going to maintain the communication we have with you guys in terms of email. We're going to be putting up new features on the website. So the Phil Henry Show website remains, and we're going to expand what it does in terms of our communication with you guys, telling you about not only the world of broadcast, but television, film, and so on and so forth. So keep your subscriptions, man. Don't get rid of them, all right? Do not get rid of those subscriptions. All you have to do is log on to www.philhenryshow.com, $6.95 a month, and you have access to the deepest archive of radio comedy in the world, my brothers and sisters. That's www.philhenryshow.com. All right, we're going to wrap up. I got some email to read to you guys and just a couple of other little bits of business to tell you about, including what the hell is up with this TV show that I was in? Is it on? Is it off? Is it in? Is it out? Is it Magic Johnson and Bud courtside? What is it? Coming up on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Anyway, Teachers, I don't know. The TV show Teachers, which was on for 6 episodes this past spring, and is in the running for a pickup for the fall. I have no clue. Well, my bet still is it ain't going to be picked up. It won't be. The only thing they're going to pick it up for is to drop it into a can. Because I don't think that I don't know. But anyway, not a peep, not a word. And the upfronts. Do you know what an upfront is?
A girl's boobs.
Yeah, a girl's boobs. You're right. But jeez. The upfronts are a thing that they have in New York, where they roll out the new shows for the fall to the advertisers. Now, apparently NBC's back in New York right now, consulting with their advertisers. And I guess that's how they do it. I have no clue, man. But I would have thought by now they would have told us, yeah, thanks very much, but you can take your teacher's show now and maybe wrap some Christmas presents with it, dude, because I wouldn't watch it with your eyeballs. However, I haven't heard a thing, and in fact, there's no peep out of anybody as to what they're picking up. I figure by tomorrow or Wednesday, and I got no clue, man. I was even talking to somebody at NBC, NBC Universal, and I said, well, look, if they need 6 comedies, they got 13 comedy pilots. They're going to pick up any more than 4 pilots? No way. So that's 4 plus 4. That's 8, so they got to drop 2. So which 2 will they drop? You got it, Teachers and Scrubs. No, actually, they're going to pick up 4, maybe 2. In any event, by Wednesday, we'll know if that turd is going on the air or not. Like I said before, what's fixable about Teachers is easily fixed. I mean, you know, either you got the brains or you don't. Either you can see that or you don't. Well, let me tell you something, man. They ain't hitting it out of the park lately over at NBC with what they've been putting on the air. Yeah, I know The Office is a big boffo bust-out hit. Guess what? This time last year, they couldn't draw. I mean, the only people watching that show were blind.
So don't tell me it's some big freaking kick-ass hit, man. I saw the numbers on its season finale. We beat it. Fine, great. My name is Earl. Good show. All right, here is a little email. Phil, how long after your last show can we still buy your crap? Love you, Phil. Aaron. From the merchandise department, when the product is gone, it's gone. Now's your chance to own an instant collectible, baby. Dear Phil, will a webcast be made available on MPEG files for download? Interesting question. I'll have to see exactly what's entailed in terms of the technology. Here's a letter from Eric. An email from Eric says, listener, since 1996, your show should be required in school. I learned a lot from your show about how to be a father, a husband, how to stand up for what you believe in no matter what, and finally, how to retire with dignity, and with just a tad of your dignity intact, I should say. Thanks a lot. Great advice on tequila drinking. By the way, I'm 14. I've got your hot dog swinging. Extremely grateful fan. Thanks, pal. Here's one from Tommy. Good day to the Beat radio program. Oh, good day to the best radio program ever. The first time that I heard your show was on my way to my folks to celebrate Thanksgiving. It took me a few minutes, and I realized that the whole thing was a put-on. It was funny as hell. The humor that is created, in my opinion, is the best, bar none. Thanks, Tommy. Thanks, brother. And we are gone on the 23rd of June, our last broadcast ever, so get it while it's hot.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.